I'm grateful that all of you come. Some of you, I know this is your first time here. And for those of you that are first timers, I want you to know that while you're here shopping, all the media is free. We don't charge for anything, both CDs and DVDs. We give those away at the tune now of about 12,000 a week. We're shipping out free and postpaid about 12,000 CDs and DVDs every week somewhere all over the world. We may look like a little bitty church here. You know, we're not very big. We may not even look like a church out in the middle of nowhere out here, but we are a church. We are a church, I'm telling you, because we, as the people, we are the church. It's not the building that's a church. It's us that is the church. We have had the privilege to see our God do some great and awesome miracles here, and we tell about those on our CDs and DVDs. And, of course, back there on the corner, we have many of our CDs and DVDs that are actually testimonies about miraculous healings and things that God has done. And I want to say thank you, Lord, because of the rain. Y'all know that, you know, we have prayed. The last two Sundays, we have prayed specifically for the Lord to send us rain. In fact, Sunday before last, we prayed for 6 inches of rain. And then last Sunday, we added another couple. We'd like to have another couple for 8 inches of rain. And as you've noticed, all through the Metroplex and the area here, all the way from about, I guess, Bridgeport on, it's rained anywhere from 1 to 2 to 3 to 8 inches all across. And we realize that also today, we realize that the fires are burning in California, that many, many homes have been burned out there. And if, in case people don't know what's causing all this, the holdup of the rain and the holdup of everything, it's sin. It's sin in our world today. And the church, we need to become those righteous people, holy people. And I think about these young men here and what they're going through at Teen Challenge and how they're doing this and how they're getting set free and everything. But one thing I'd like to tell you, that if some of you know this, some of you have heard me talk about this before, Cheryl and I, my wife, we have learned that God said in His Word, He sent His Word and healed and delivered His people. So the power is in the Word. And so when God says, just like in Joel 2:32, He made an awesome statement. He said, and I love this statement in Joel 2:32, it shall come to pass. Now, if God makes a statement, it shall come to pass, guess what He means? It shall come to pass. Not maybe, I hope so. God has limited Himself on this earth to His Word. And so when God says in Joel 2:32, it shall come to pass, that whosoever, that includes all of us, does it not? That whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So these young men that are here today that have given their testimonies, if they know that verse, if they can lock on to Joel 2:32, and the enemy ever comes back to you to try to get you on drugs again, or alcohol, or anything else that you're being delivered from, if you will remember Joel 2:32, and you'll claim that promise, I guarantee the desire for the drugs or the alcohol or whatever will go away, and you won't have to be on those drugs no more. I mean, Jesus made you a promise, and most people do not realize that the promises of God are words. They're words, and He wrote them in His Word. And when the Lord told us that if it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. But you know, He made a lot of promises in His Word. I think about some of the promises that I've stood on, like several people today have mentioned my granddaughter's miracle. Well, I stood on God's Word, and in John 15:7, the Lord says, and the very first word in the Scripture in John 15:7, it says, If my words remain in you, and if you remain in me, then you can ask me for whatever you want, anything you want, and I will do it for you. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. If he says that, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that very verse is the verse that I stood on without any doubt in my heart that the Lord would put my granddaughter back together. And, of course, my granddaughter, and many of you know the story of my granddaughter, but some of you may not. But 13 years ago, she was technically killed in a car wreck. I mean, the impact was so severe, head-on to a truck, 70 miles an hour, with a car driving 70 miles an hour, that when she went forward and hit the seat in front of her, it broke all these bones all across her face. I mean, her head was twice its size when I got to the hospital. Her skull had been crushed in 5 places. Her brain stem was disconnected. It was severed. Her eyes were jerked out of her brain. I mean, every organ, the doctors told me, 3 of them, that every organ in her body was damaged. Her right knee was crushed and her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And the finest doctors in the world, some of them, several of them, at least 3 extremely good ones at Cook's Medical Center, they do have some fantastic doctors down there, I will have to say. But those 3 men were looking at my granddaughter with eyes that was trained on earth by man. And she was impossible. But what does the word say I could ask for? Anything. Anything. Now then, do we believe that God means what he says in his word? Well, for those of us that do, those of us that are in his word, those of us that are obeying his word, then this is not limited to a given individual. This is not limited to anyone except men and women of faith. Men and women of faith have this privilege to go before our God and ask him to do these great and mighty and wonderful things, and he will do them. And I'm telling you that he did. Whenever I prayed for my granddaughter and asked the Lord to restore her, of course, he says I can ask for what there?
Anything.
Okay, now, as a little girl, as a woman, I'll look at you here. Of course, we've got several women right here. All of you young and older women would agree with me that a young girl, when she grows up, she don't want scars all over her face. Is that right? Does little girls, big girls, older girls like to be beautiful?
Yes,
they do. It never changes, I guarantee. I mean, I got one over here, and she loves to be beautiful, and she loves me to tell her she's beautiful. Don't ever forget that, Ben. Ben and Megan are fixing to get married. He needs all the help he can get, obeying God's word. Is that right, Megan? He needs help. You know, all of us need help. But when you know that God says you can ask for anything, I asked the Lord to restore that little face, which was torn all to pieces and swelled twice its size. I asked him to put skin back to skin and not cause any scabs to form, because I didn't want any scars on her little face. Because I knew as she grew up, she would want to be a beautiful woman. Even when she got older, she still wouldn't want a face with scars. Is that right?
Yeah,
so older or younger, it makes no difference. You want to be beautiful. Is that right? Of course, all ladies want to be beautiful. And husbands like it when their wives are beautiful, too. You know, if a man gets a little cut on him or something, a little scar on his face, it's not a big deal. We can live with it, right, brother? But the women, they can't live with it. They got to cover it up. They got to go get surgery. They got to do something. They don't want a scar on their face. And I know that about girls. And so I knew my granddaughter wasn't going to be no different. So I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to put her little skin back together, skin to skin. No scars. Now, it depends on how big your God is as to what you can ask for. Is that right? But if you know the King of Kings, Gloria, what can the King of Kings do? That's right. That's right. I've seen. I mean, you know that. I know that. I mean, I've known Gloria for a long time, and she is a woman of God. I mean, she believes the King can do anything. And she's absolutely right. He can. And so, anyway, I asked him, you know, I said, Lord, I want you to put every little bone that's broken and pieces all over inside her face, I want you to put every little bone back in the right place. Now, that takes a pretty big God to do that, doesn't it? When the finest doctors in the world tell you that can't be done, they don't know our Jesus, do they? So I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to to send the Holy Spirit into her little face and to put every little bone back in place exactly and put them back where there would not even be a way of ever telling they were broken. Now, do you think he can do that kind of work? I know he can do that kind of work. So I ask him to put that little face back together. I ask him to put her little eyes back together. I ask him to fix the skull where it was crushed in five places. I mean, everything the doctors told me was wrong with her, I asked the Father in Jesus' name, according to John 15:7, to fix her and to fix her perfect with no flaws. And then I praised him and thanked him and worshiped him. And for the next 10 or 12 hours after I prayed that prayer, I walked up and down beside her little bed, just praising and worshiping the King for his promises that are always yes and amen.
Amen.
I know he said that in 2 Corinthians 1:20. All of my promises are yes and amen. So if you believe him and you stand on his word, I guarantee he'll do what he said. And so he began to put Caitlin back together. Now, I didn't understand when I walked across the hallway there to where little Kelly, which was in the car with her. Kelly was 6 years old when this happened. My granddaughter was 3 years old when this happened. And little Kelly, when I walked over and looked at her, her head was ripped open right here, all the way back to about right here. And I said, Doc, I said, what about Kelly? He said, if she lives, she'll have brain damage. And she won't never be normal. And he said, it'll take, her pelvics are crushed because her seatbelt held. And said, her pelvics are crushed and it'll take 2.5 to 3 months for her to get to where she can be walking with a walker again. I said, well, I don't agree with that. I said, Jesus made me another promise. Not only did he make us this promise, but he made us one in John 16:23-24. Now, I want you to see, this is why it's so important to know these wonderful promises. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, is that an awesome promise that the King made to his children? Are we his children? So then, what does the next verse say? 24 says, verse 24, and hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, but now then ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what do we do with promises like that as children of the Most High God? We stand on them. That's right. We use them, do we not? What do you think he put them in his word for, young lady?
For me.
For you. That's exactly right. And for all the rest of us. But you got to get that revelation. You know, I read this Bible for years. I went to church. I did everything. But I never saw a miracle that I knew of. I never saw an answer to prayer. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to stand on the word of God. But anyway, with the little Kelly, I asked the Lord, according to those two verses, now one more time, what did he say I could ask for in John 16:23-24?
Anything.
Well, what am I going to ask for then? Oh, Lord, if it be your will, let her have brain damage? No, I don't think so, huh? No, what am I going to ask for? Oh, I'm going to ask the Lord. I said, Lord, I want you to heal that little head. I said, and I don't want no brain damage. I mean, the doctor said we're going to have brain damage and she's not going to be normal. I don't want nothing but a normal child, but I guess that's not exactly true. I don't want a normal child. I want a supernatural normal child. Is that what you want? Yes, I want my children. You know, all of us love. How many of you ever seen a grandfather that, you know, doesn't like to brag on his grandchildren? You know what I mean? And, you know, here's the way. I love it. I love it, you know, whenever, you know, of course, maybe I stretch it a little bit, you know, when somebody says something about your grandchild, said, oh, yeah, mine, when she was 6 months old, she already knew her colors. And she was talking. And we know that ain't true, don't we? But do granddaddies like to brag a little? Of course they like to brag a little. Now then, if you really did have one that knew their colors time they were six and they was already talking, I mean, that would be supernatural, would it not? But you know the reason we don't have children like that? It's because we don't believe we can ask God for them to be that supernatural. We are trained by the things of this world. So anyway, I took that promise and asked the Lord to heal that little head and no brain damage. I asked him to heal those little pelvics. I said, now, Lord, they said that in 2.5 to 3 months, she'll be able to walk. I said, I don't want her to walk in 2.5 to 3 months. Oh, did he put a time limit on that? So what could I ask for? Oh, my goodness gracious. That makes this whole thing fun, doesn't it, Kim? So I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want you to fix her. I want you to heal her little head. I want you to put her back together. I want you to just do such a great and mighty work. And I said, I want her to be up out of this ICU ward, and I want her to be walking so quick that not 2.5 to 3 months. I don't want her walking with a walker in 2.5 to 3 months and then have to walk 4, 5, or 6 months before she can walk. And I want you to do something supernatural. You said, Lord, I could ask for anything. Is that what he said? So, Lord, I'm asking you to do a supernatural work on little Kelly, and I want her to be out running and playing so everybody will have to know, including the doctors, that only you could have done something like this. You know, so anyway, a week later, little Kelly is out of ICU, and she, a week later, after 2 weeks total, she is in the Baptist church in service that morning with her little walker. Even the Baptist preacher, I'll never forget, he said, you know, it's obvious, folks, after this terrible accident that's happened to this family, little Kelly and her mom and dad are here today, and we have obviously seen God do a miracle. Amen. Now then, why did God do that miracle? That's it. That's the whole thing, because I ask. I ask, is that what he said I got to do? Amen. And I got to ask in faith, right? Well, anyway, by Wednesday of the second week, 2.5 total weeks, Kelly was back in school running and playing as if nothing had ever happened. 2.5 weeks. I haven't seen the little lady in several years. I wish I could see her again. I'm sure she's about 20. Now, 19 or 20, and I understand she's a beautiful little girl. In fact, about 3 months after she was normal, or I considered it normal, I was in church over to Baptist Church. That's when I used to still go to the Baptist Church myself before I became a pastor. I was sitting there at the pew, and she came in and sat down right beside me. And her mother came and sat down. No, I take that back. That's not how that happened. I was at a birthday party. That's what I was. And she was there with her mother at a birthday party. And I said, Kelly, honey, how are you doing? And she said, oh, I'm doing great, but I hate these scars on my forehead. I said, you have scars? She reached up and put her hands under her bangs and flopped her hair back like that. And she had 2 huge scars where her head had been ripped open. And I said, oh, Kelly, I said, Jesus, she said, I don't like these scars. I said, Jesus don't like those scars either. But I said, he's got to have a man of faith to pray for you before he can take those off. Do you know God has limited himself on this earth to mine and your prayers? Amen. Otherwise, he would need us, right? You know why that story they presented up here, Ezekiel, a while ago with the putting breath back in him? You know, why did God tell Ezekiel to speak to those bodies? Why did he speak and say, bone come to bone? Why did he just, if he wanted them alive, why didn't he just do it without a man? But see, God needs a man. He needs a man on this earth to speak or to pray so he can do things. Because that's what God has done. He's limited himself on this earth to our speaking and our prayers. So anyway, I looked at her little scars. And I told her, I said, honey, Jesus don't want those on there either, but he's got to have a man of faith pray for you before he can take them off. I said, now, John 14:13-14. Now, here's another one of these awesome promises. John 14:13-14. And look what John 14:13 says. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this book is full of these kind of promises. What do we do with those? We use them. That's exactly right. We use them. And so I told her, I said, honey, I'm gonna take John 14, 13, 14, and I quoted those two verses. I said, I'm going to ask the Father in Jesus' name to take away your scars. And I said, he'll do it. But I said, honey, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. Well, her mother was right there. She heard me do all this. The next morning, little Kelly got up. She was back in these days, she was just 6 years old. She gets up and she runs into the bathroom and throws her bangs back and says, look, Mom, just what I thought. They're not as bad this morning as they were yesterday. Doesn't Mr. Thurman do good work? And her mother says, Kelly, you know it's not Mr. Thurman, it's Jesus. She said, oh, Mom, I know that Jesus is doing it, but it's just Mr. Thurman knows how to get Jesus to do wonderful things. Now, I'm telling you, I think every man of God should be known like that to the children around you. We should be known that if we have a need, I mean, I think about Scott sitting up here on the front row. When one of these children of his gets hurt, who do they come to for prayer? Dad. Now, isn't that amazing? Why? Because they know God answers your prayer. They have seen it over and over and over. They got three children sitting right here, and I just saw her fall off of a horse yesterday, and guess who she wanted to pray for her? Daddy. She wanted Daddy to pray for her. You know, and when Daddy prays and he asks the Lord to take away the pain, I even heard him when he was mentioned saying that. Lord, take away the pain. You know, what happens when a daddy prays for his children? If he knows the word, God answers. Does he not? Sure he does. Yeah, he does. I just think of the times I have prayed for my children, my grandchildren, over the years, and the mighty miracles that I've seen God do. But I just like little Kelly, you know, after she said what she did there, well, about 3 months, I think it was 2 or 3 months later, wasn't too long, 2 or 3 months later, I was in the Baptist church one morning sitting there, and Kelly come running in, run right in front of me there, and went and sat around right beside me. And her mother came around and sat on the other side of her. And when she did, she sat down and she reached up and she said, Thurman, I want you to see something. And she reached up and put her hands on the little bangs and folded them back. And the scars on her head were virtually completely gone. And what can our God do? He can do anything you can believe him for. That's the secret. If you can believe God, just like these young men that put on all this wonderful demonstration they put on for us today, these boys, when they really get a hold of who they are in Christ, they won't ever have to worry about going back on drugs. When you really realize that you're a son of God, a joint heir with the Master, and that you died to the old man, and the new man's alive in you. So when the enemy comes back and tries to put something like this on them, they'll just remind him, I'm dead. That man's dead. He's not alive no more. Dead men don't sin. Dead men don't take drugs. We don't do those things no more. You know, I just think, but you know, every one of us fights that battle every day somehow. And some of us, it may not be drugs. Some of us, it may not be alcohol. Some of us, it may be food. Do you know that? Some of us just overeat. You know, some of us overdrink. And I think about how I used to love Dr. Peppers. You know, and I really did. I liked them. You know, I mean, I drank one a day, no problem. You know, my wife, when after God brought her to me, and every time we'd start to leave the house and we'd go by the grocery store, she said, honey, would you stop by the grocery store and get me a can Dr. Pepper? I said, well, sure, I'd love to have one too. So I would drive up there, and of course, we'd stop in there. And finally, one day, I thought, you know, every time I leave the house, she wants a can Dr. Pepper. So I love this girl, so I'll really make her happy. Isn't that the way we're supposed to do, Mary? Us guys, we're supposed to make our girls happy. So I went to the grocery store and bought a 24-pack and come home and put them in the refrigerator. And when she opened the refrigerator, she said, "Who did this?" I said, "Well, honey, it was me. Who else?" She said, "Why did you do this?" I said, "Well, I know you love Dr. Peppers. Every time we go somewhere, you want me to stop and get you one?" She said, "I know, but I can't have them in the refrigerator." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because I drank too many." I said, "Woman, it's called discipline." Uh-oh, that didn't go over too good. She didn't want to hear that. So anyway, we had to drink those Dr. Peppers up. And then I didn't buy her no more. And so finally one day we're going somewhere and she said, "Stop by the grocery store there and get me a can of Dr. Pepper." So I got two, one for her and one for me. And we're driving down the road and we're going to go over to Peggy and Roy's store in Louisville. We wasn't far away from there. So we pull up in front of their store and I get out, you know, with my Dr. Pepper. I mean, I'm not doing anything wrong. And I walk into her store and Peggy attacks me. "Thurman, what is that you have in your hand?" I said, "A Dr. Pepper?" She said, "I can't believe a man of God is defiling his temple with that." And I thought, "Now, wait a minute. Are these things this bad?" I said, "Peggy, you can't be that bad." She said, something like this. I may have this wrong, but she said, "For every one of those Dr. Peppers you drink, it takes 38-ounce bottles of clean, clear water to bring your pH back to normal." I said, "So what do you think?" She said, "I would throw that thing away and I'd never have another one." I said, "Do you drink them?" She said, "Absolutely not." So, Peggy, I hope you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'll be 77 June
18th. This woman and her husband, Roy, you're about
80.
He's 80. He's 80 and she's 77. They don't drink Dr. Peppers. They drink good things, they drink water, they take care of themselves, and anytime a woman that's that age can jump up and act like she's 50 or 40, I listen to people like that. You know what I mean? Now, if you was walking in here with a cane and couldn't hardly get around, I wouldn't listen to you, Peggy. But since you are in such good health, you and Roy do your own garden, both of you, and everything else, when y'all tell me something, I listen. You see what I mean? I listen. Because obviously you two have learned something the rest of us haven't learned. And if you can be 77 and you can be 80 and y'all can go where you want to, drive when you want to, don't neither one of you wear glasses or nothing else, I'm telling you, y'all have learned something the rest of us need to learn. Amen. You agree with that? Amen. So when she tells me I shouldn't drink a Dr. Pepper, now I guess that's been about 5 years ago. You know how many Dr. Peppers I've drank in the last 5 years?
No.
That's exactly right. Not one single one. I listen to that woman. I listen to her. And let me tell you, that's kind of the way it is when I tell you things from God's Word. With the experiences and the years I've had with God's Word and the 800 teachings I've made on His Word and the thousands we give away every week, if I tell you something from God's Word, you know what you would be smart to do? To listen. That's exactly right. Because the gospel I preach, I get it out of that book. Right, John? Right out of that book. And I don't deviate from that book, do I? No. But God answers my prayer. Doesn't He? He does. And He answers your prayer when you learn how it works. And I love seeing God answer prayer. I love seeing people get healed and delivered. Don't you? You know, I mean, I love to tell this story. I tell these stories because right where I'm standing, I guess the Holy Spirit just does something to me when I step on this spot right here. But right here, I've seen so many miracles in this church. Right here. But I want to tell you about two of them. First of all, just a couple of years ago, there was a 13-year-old boy came here with his mom and dad, and the boy was colorblind. He could not see anything but black and white. And some of you were here the day that happened. Kim's over there shaking her head. I know Kim and Scott was here. They saw this miracle happen. Oh, y'all were here too. Y'all saw it too. Okay, so several people saw this. But this young boy, when it came time for prayer after the healing school, I said, "What's wrong?" And the mother said, "Well, there's several things wrong with our son, but the main thing is he's colorblind. He can only see black and white." I said, "Well," I asked the question. I said, "I've learned over the years that sex before marriage caused that." So I said, "Were you two involved in sex before marriage?" And she said, "Absolutely not. We had no sex until we got married." I said, "Okay." I said, so there's something else wrong. I said, are y'all the normal birth parents of this boy? And she said, no. I said, oh, okay. I said, so do you know who his mom and dad really are? And they said, oh, yes. I said, can you tell me about them? Yeah, they're two wild kids. They're both strung out on drugs and alcohol. Oh, pay attention. They're strung out on drugs and alcohol. I said, do y'all know that sin? They said, oh, yeah, we know that sin. I said, so how did y'all wind up with this boy? They said, because this couple didn't want him. I mean, they're still strung out on drugs and alcohol. They had sex. They brought this boy into the world, and then they give him to CPS. They didn't want him. I said, okay. I said, now, son, how old are you? He said, I'm 13. I said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He said, yes, I most certainly do. My mom and dad, he called this couple that had adopted him his mom and dad, because technically they are now his mom and dad. So he really didn't know his real mom and dad, the ones that were on drugs and alcohol. So he said, my mom and dad has taught me the principles about God's word, and I accepted Jesus a while back. So he said, yes, I am a born-again Christian. I said, good. Now I said, now you're redeemed from the curse. I said, so I'm going to break the curse over you. Galatians 3:13 and 14 clearly says that Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law, but by being a curse for us, for it is written. It is written. So I claim that Galatians 3:13 and 14 for that boy. I said, now the scripture says in Luke 10:19 and 20 that I have been given all power and all authority over Satan and his host of demons, and the devil has to be subject to me in the name of Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful promise? So I told the couple, I said, I'm going to command this spirit to leave this boy right this minute and to leave him and never come back. So when I laid my hands on the boy, after he told me that he was a Christian, we claimed the redemption from the curse. We had quoted all these scriptures, Luke 10:19 and 20. Commanded the devil to leave him and to not come back, the demons. I said, now, Father, I ask you to send the precious Holy Spirit and restore this boy's eyes and make his eyes work perfect in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord, it's done. I said, son, do you believe what I said? He said, yes, sir. I said, then say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my eyes. He said, thank you, Lord, for healing my eyes. And then he began to look around the room like this, and he's looking. I said, son, what happened? He said, God is awesome. I said, yes, son, I know he's awesome. What did he do? He says, God is so cool. I said, yes, Lord. I said, son, I know he's awesome and I know he's cool, but what did he do? He said, sir, I can see colors everywhere. And he was instantly set free. Wasn't that wonderful to see that? For those of you that got to see that, wasn't that wonderful? This couple right here, they said they saw it. They were here that day. I know Kim and Scott was here that day. Maybe some more of you here. But we got to see God do that. And then a month later, we got a beautiful email from that couple. And she said, what a privilege to have been there that day and seen you pray over our son and seen our master completely restore his eyes. And then what a privilege it's been the last month to teach our son the colors. Because he didn't know. Mom, what color is this? That shirt that she's wearing is different than this. It's not black and white. No, those are blue. That's blue. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Gray hair and brown, black hair. Wow. And then he looks at me and says, all white. So, wow. Isn't it awesome? And so the boy's mother and dad had the privilege of teaching him colors. And she said, what a privilege it has been to teach him. Because, see, all his life, because of his parents' sins, he had the misfortune of being cursed by God. And he was cursed in his eyes. And so he couldn't see anything but black and white. And then this last year in February, a year ago February, time goes by so quick. There was a 71 or 2 or 3 year old woman sitting right here. She was the last one I prayed for that day at the healing school. And she got up and came here, and I'm standing right here where I'm standing right now. And she stood right there. And I said, ma'am, what is wrong with you? What can I pray for you for? And I'll never forget that woman. Her right shoulder had a big tumor in it, and her rotator cuff was disconnected on her right arm, so she couldn't raise it up. She could just move it a little, but not very far. But the left one was okay. And she took her left hand, and she put it right on my nose. And she never did touch my nose, but boy, she come close. She's shaking that finger, and she said, I told my daughter when she brought me here from Amarillo that if she would bring me here to this heathen school, I guaranteed her that when you prayed for me in the name of Jesus, he would heal me. I thought, wow. You don't very rarely see anybody with that kind of faith. But I said, ma'am, you have great faith. And she said, I guarantee when you touch me, he's going to heal me. And so I just took this hand, the left one, and reached to put it on her right shoulder. And when I did, there was that big old soft, puffy thing, whatever it was, tumor, whatever it was. And when I squeezed it just a little, I said, in the name of Jesus, her puffiness left and the arm became totally normal. And in one heartbeat, that's all I said, in the name of Jesus. And in one heartbeat, after the tumor left, her right arm shot straight up and that arm was completely reconnected and made completely whole right here. Did you see that one too? Y'all saw that one too, praise the Lord. Were y'all at that one? You didn't see that one, okay. Anybody else in here that day that's, oh, well, we got several back here that did see it. Isn't it wonderful to get to see God show up in church? Amen. Don't you love it? Amen. I love seeing God show up in church. So if you want to see miracles, maybe you ought to come more often. I love seeing God do things. It is absolutely awesome, isn't it? God is an awesome God. I mean, he is an awesome God. But I love serving the Master. I love seeing him do the things. You know, we had a great deal today with everybody, and I'm glad that these men from Teen come, and I hope they all continue to get a hold of who they really are as sons of God, don't you? Yes. And I want you one more time to give them all a round of applause for what they've done. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And so praise the Lord. And like I say, if you have any extra money, you know, you might go by the table if you hadn't already bought you one and buy you one of the crosses. Or just put some money on the table back there. I've got an offering I'm going to give them in a minute. And also I'm going to give them some money so they can go buy lunch. I saw eight of them. I don't know if there's more than eight. But anyway, I'm going to definitely take care of them, give them an offering. Last year when they were here, I give them an offering this year and give them enough money for all eight of them to go eat a pretty good meal somewhere and maybe even have a little money left over. So, but anyway, praise the Lord. We thank you men from Teen, and we ask you to continue to Teen Challenge. I ask you to continue to remember who you are as sons and daughters, sons of God, and may God use you men mightily to do great things for his kingdom. He is an awesome God. Praise the Lord. Well, now that we're going to close with a word of prayer, and then next week we'll start where we were going to start today. We're going through 1 Corinthians, and we're up to chapter 10. So next week we will talk about chapter 10. So we were going to do that today, but we didn't, but we will next Sunday. And there's some good stuff in chapter 10. If you want to know why people are sick and they die, you'll find it in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. So lots of people wonder, why does all these bad things happen to me? Well, I have the answer, or the Word of God has the answer, not me, in 1 Corinthians 10. It's all there. Father, I praise you and thank you for all the wonderful things you do for us. I thank you for the Word. I thank you that you have literally bound yourself on this earth to your word. So whatever you said in that word is going to happen. So Lord, I thank you and praise you for blessing us as when we get right with you and we repent of our sins and come back, how you restore us and make us whole and give us a second, third, fourth chance. Lord, we're so grateful that you're such a merciful, awesome, mighty God, that you will give us another chance. And Lord, help us to keep you with us so we won't need a second and third and fourth chance, but we'll walk wholly in your presence so we can really be blessed with our children and our families and everything. And I thank you for doing the wonderful things you do. Now, Lord, if we go this week, I want to thank you again for the beautiful rain the last 2 weeks that you've sent. We've asked for the rain and you've been merciful and you've sent it. Sunday before last, we remitted, we took John 20:23, and we remitted the sins of everybody in the state of Texas so there would be nothing to withhold rain. And Lord, we got a great rain. And we're sure there was many other people praying for rain too, because many Christians know and understand these principles. And we thank you for them and thank you for the prayers that they did. So we got this beautiful rain. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for this week that we will be out. I ask you to challenge each one of us to go out and talk to people that we meet this week about you. Lord, may we lay hands on people and may we get people healed and delivered and may we get people saved and may we bring people into the kingdom of God. And we thank you for using all of us in such a mighty way to do great things for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.